outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to LATalkRadio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Vacation Countdown Guy.
Mr. Vacation Countdown Guy.
We all enjoy going on vacation, but you enjoy reminding everyone at the office every 10 minutes that your vacation is just weeks, then days, then hours, then minutes away.
Yes, we're counting down to.
Why do you, Mr. Vacation Countdown Guy, think the entire accounting department gives a flying rip about the precise time remaining before you leave for Cancun?
All-inclusive obnoxiousness.
We just pray you get sick.
Montezuma's revenge, yeah.
So the next time you're at a meeting and a guy says, I won't miss these meetings when I'm on vacation, give him a knowing nod, acknowledging that you can't wait for him to be gone either, because he's Mr. Vacation Countdown Guy, a real American hero.
Mr. Vacation Countdown Guy.
What does that loser do around here anyway?
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning, Kara. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Thursday, June 3rd.
Good morning.
We're live in the studio. You're listening to the best morning show out there by far.
I love how we just... Well, it's not self-proclaimed, actually.
No, you got to toot your own horn. You know, nobody else is going to do it for you.
No, people are tooting our horns.
Yeah?
I hate that word toot, though.
Right.
I think it's so gross. It's just gross. Like, if you're going to fart, you know, like, just don't make it... Don't give it a pretty name. It makes it almost more gross to me.
Uh-huh.
So, like, growing up, I have these cousins from the South, like, well, from Texas, but they're from East Texas, meaning, like, backwoods.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the sticks. And the word, like, toot, and then this word that I can't even say because I'll throw up, but it's so disgusting to me.
Is toot, does toot mean fart?
Well, not the way you used it, but people use it as,
yeah,
like... farting, and I'm like, okay. It makes me want to throw up. You know, people have issues with certain words. So here's what my cousin said one time. I wanted to throw up. I almost did throw up in my mouth. She goes, ew, mama, Cassie pooted. I could not. I almost threw up in my mouth. I was like, that is the most, like, anytime people try to make it like something cute,
uh-huh,
or pretty.
Uh-huh.
Like toot.
You don't like it.
Toot. That's like what old people say because they don't want to say, hey, I totally just let one, or, you know, totally have a big fat fart. Like, they're just like...
Got the cheese.
They're like, who's got the toots? It's just so gross to me. Gross.
Yeah, but you have to promote yourself. Nobody else is going to do it for you, you know?
I mean, I was playing, but we have people promoting us. I mean, we have people that are singing our praises, so...
Yeah, definitely.
I think that in a way, you've got to be self-promotional, but at the same time, you have to kind of let go because you don't want to be that annoying person. Mm-hmm. And... I mean, the reality is, if you're good, you're good, and talent rises to the top, like cream rises to the top. So, I think that it speaks louder when people are just good, especially like doing comedy or something, and you see people running their mouths the most.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't run your mouth. If you're good, you're good. People are gonna know.
Yeah.
And I noticed that when you're good, the haters come out.
Like, oh, yeah.
I did,
yeah,
a show. I've done this happened to me a couple times, and it's kind of new for me, but where I'll go on stage, it'll be awesome, and then afterwards, like, barely any of the comics will talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they care that much about me, but it's just kind of interesting. It's almost like they don't want to give credit where credit's due because they're like, oh, she probably already thinks she's good or something.
I see.
It's weird because they'll go up to people and say, talk to them that didn't do well at all, but then they'll ignore me.
Mm-hmm.
Not all the time, but I've noticed that, and I started realizing, oh, it's just haters.
Yeah. Like, there are a lot of haters out there and jealous people.
It's insecurity. And I've got to watch it in myself. Sometimes when I go and see somebody that, you know, that is really good in what they do, and I feel a sense of not wanting to give them praise, I have to ask myself, well, why am I not telling them?
It's jealousy.
Well, I think it's, I think it is jealousy. And I think it's, it says it's the scarcity act, which is, it's the fear that there's not enough to go around. So people want to hold and hoard praise because they're afraid that, well, if everybody likes them, what about me? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the fear. So anytime I get that emotion, I try to do the complete opposite of it. You know what I mean? To fight.
Yeah, well, at least you're aware of it, which is
good.
Well,
I mean, it's human. I mean, who hasn't been jealous?
No, it happens to me, too. I'm very competitive, you know? But I'm not a hater, you know?
No, you're not a hater.
I don't hate people, you know?
No, but we're all capable of being haters, as I'm saying. If you let it go unchecked, anytime somebody's doing good or getting a little bit better, you know, praising you, you could be like, motherfucker, whatever, they're ugly anyway, you know, or like, they don't even, you know, whatever. It's like, but I've learned that it's good for me to let go of that. Like, if I think somebody's done well, and it's important for me, too, to just release it, because it's not for me to keep.
Right.
You know, it's like, give credit where credit's due.
There you go, you know?
There you go, there you go.
You're such a great person, I'm telling you.
No, I'm not a great person.
Flawless.
Lawless.
So we had Roxana in the studio yesterday.
I loved her.
And the funny thing is, she goes home and she puts on Facebook, I need to get laid. So you can imagine how many responses she got.
Well, I mean, hello. She's
I wrote to her. I said, you should have said something in the morning. You know?
She could have really promoted it out on the radio.
Yeah, I know. And then the publicist reminded me of the book signing, but it was too late. I couldn't go.
I thought it was today.
No, it was yesterday.
Was it? No, I think it's today.
Oh, it is today?
Yeah, I thought it's tomorrow, which is today at the Rainbow Room.
Oh, okay.
Read your email.
Yeah, well, you remember better than I do. I don't make bets with anyone regarding memory.
Yeah, well, neither
do I. My memory is going, you know.
Is it?
Yeah. With age, I think.
Is it an age thing? People really lose
memory? I think it is an age thing, but I don't know. With me, it's just I have too much in my head, you know, and there's facts that are... I can't fill my head with small facts, so I need to write them down. But I'm so bad about writing things down that I end up forgetting.
You know? That's actually how I am. Don't give me baby details. Don't give me like it was a Wednesday. People that tell stories like this, they're like, they're so detail oriented. Like I'm not sitting down with a typewriter cataloging your conversation. So this is what I'm talking about. People are like, oh, I went with Marge and Liz and her brother's second cousin Sue. And it was a Tuesday. No, it was Wednesday. It was a Wednesday at 9 a.m. Yeah. And we went down to that little coffee shop off of 3rd and Franklin near Pete's, but not Pete's, the new one that just opened up about 5 days ago. And you're like, 10 minutes in, you're like, where's the story? Where's the story? I don't care about the time. I don't care about the fingerprints. I don't care about what cloth that person was wearing. I don't really care.
Yeah.
I get irritated.
Yeah, I know. I get impatient.
People take too long. Spit it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't handle it.
I know. I get impatient.
I have a really good friend of mine. I hope you're listening. Dan, I hope you're listening. He's actually an ex-boyfriend of mine, but anytime he would tell a story with me, he's comfortable, but when you'd get him around people and he'd be explaining something, all of a sudden he took in deep breaths and everything had a huge pause. And the moral of what I'm about to say is that the people, I'm like, spit it out. Spit it out.
God,
and I think it
crazy.
Was like a nervous thing, but everything had to be so amped up. And I'm like, you're losing people. You're losing. Go take storytelling class. You're losing people. Yeah, bad.
That's funny.
Anyway, that's me. That's my rant.
That's you.
That's my rant.
Yeah.
So
how have you been? I sent you something that I got in the email regarding hiking. There's going to be like a hiking event or something.
Really?
Yeah, so you like doing that. So
yeah, I want to do it. What is it?
I sent it to you by email.
Okay, we'll have to check it out.
Yeah, you can check it out later.
No, I will. I will check it out later, not right now, because people don't care about that. Right.
Today's a good day for hiking. It's not too hot.
I like going when it's sunny, man.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I like it.
You don't mind the heat? Like, what if it gets 80, 90 degrees?
Oh, that's so bad. Do you know where I'm from? I'm from the freaking butt crack of Texas hot.
Right.
It's
moist.
So it
doesn't bother you, right?
It's moist, hot, sweaty, and smelly. That's Houston.
Yeah.
It's just butt crack hot. It's true, though. It's nasty. And anyway, but it's just, it's so intense that you, even here on a hot day, it's hot, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's just like normal hot. Oh, it's hot. But you just put some sunscreen on, put a hat on.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes the sun's intense here, though. That's what I found.
Yeah.
I find that the sun can be really blazing, but it's not. Yeah. It's not that it's even.
So it's moist and hot and stinky.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There's a lot of power plants out there.
That could be describing a vagina, an unwashed one.
Yeah. Well, I went for butt. You need to. You know, I think that for the most part, I mean, I don't go around checking.
Oh, butt's moist.
I mean, that area, you know, probably if you get a little, if it's been sitting in some pants all day, some yoga pants.
Yeah.
You know, running around, there's probably some.
Yeah, unkempt genitals.
But I want to say this, you know, I'm assuming that most areas of those women probably are clean. I would think.
Yeah, I would hope so.
And it's just like you've got like, let's say one in 10 people that have bad body odor. What would you say?
I don't know. It depends. In the summer, it's worse, you know. When people sweat and they don't take a shower, that's the worst smell you can smell. You know, it's just you get a whiff and my God, it's like you want to die.
Well, it's interesting because body odor in the U.S. is very offensive. Like, if you smell somebody's man musk, mm-hmm. and they've got some heat radiating from their pits and, like, their jaw. Mm-hmm. They've got a couple.
Where do you find all that
like,
shit?
Like, they've got a couple, like, of those top buttons that are unbuttoned with some sprouts of hair.
Uh-huh.
And just hot heat and just, ugh. They've got that. They've got it going on. It's almost like it doesn't bother them, and you know they have to smell it. You know they're probably so used to their own funk.
Right.
They like it.
Yeah.
They probably like it. Like, look at me and my funky.
Either that or they're not aware. I don't know if people are aware of how stinky they can get.
That's probably true. But no, I think culturally certain. I mean, there's some of those people that just, you know, randomly just have some funk going on. But then there's people that it's part of their culture or it's part of their upbringing and they're totally cool with it.
Right.
And I bet to them they just think it's natural and it smells good. And I think as the U.S. we're really big on deodorant, hygiene, and perfume. And so anytime we smell anything remotely like skin,
right,
we're like,
we get offended.
Yeah, I wonder which one's distorted is what I'm saying. I mean, obviously I like smelling fresh, clean, and I don't want, you know, to smell like a, you know, a wildebeest, but. But even so, like, I can smell myself when I'm just running around outside and I don't have my AC on and I have the windows open in the car and the sun is baking my right arm from the sun, you know, driving.
Right.
And I could just smell baked skin mixed with oil from sweating a bit. Mm. And I've got deodorant and perfume on and then my hair. And it just kind of sometimes it smells like outside.
Mm.
And it's not that it smells bad. It just has an outside smell. And that even bothers me.
Really?
That outside smell.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you've just come
You're sensitive to smells, right?
Yes, but you know when you come in, somebody comes inside and they've got that grass smell on them and like just outside.
Mm-hmm.
It's not bad. It just smells outside-ish. That kind of bugs me. It just doesn't smell like I think feminine.
Mm.
I smell like freshly cut grass or something. Like the Gap used to have these fragrances, these little bottles of fragrances that they would sell that represented kind of earth, and one of them was grass. And I was like, why would anybody want to wear grass?
Mm. Did it smell like grass?
It smelled like grass. I'm like, just go out.
Really?
9 to 5, be outside, sweat in your car.
Wow.
But yeah, you know that baked skin smell?
Mm-hmm.
Sun's blazing. It's.
Yeah. Actually, baked skin smell, I don't know if I'm familiar with that.
It's just kind of like hot. Kind of a little bit sweaty skin that's been outside, but not like, okay. We're not talking armpit area. We're talking.
I'll have to be aware of it next time.
I'll
sweat
save you
in
some.
The car.
I'll save you some.
Oh, thank you.
I'm like, hey,
female musk
about.
In the bottle.
But it's not like pits or like butt or anything like that.
Right,
it's like
an
arm.
Uh-huh.
It's just anybody know what I'm talking
okay,
about?
Okay, I believe you.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. We might as well give a shout out to a few of our fans. You know, I wanted to because I always forget. You know. We have Mario, of course, and we have Chris, and we have a new fan called Bruce, and I wanted to give you guys a shout-out because you guys are loyal fans, and you really make it all worthwhile.
Yeah, we have our friend up in Slovenia.
Right, Miha.
Miha,
that's
and
true.
We have Reese, who's a good dude.
Right, we have
and
a lot
got,
of fans,
and
actually.
And we've got a good girl, Lauren, in Wisconsin. She emails me. She's really cool.
She's
always telling me things to talk about or telling you to play my music and stuff. She's really cute.
Yeah.
She's like, tell Sam, da, 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 da. I'm like, okay, I'll let him know.
Yeah.
She's cool. Yeah, so those are our 10 fans out there. Thank you. No, we got more.
No, yeah, we'll give more shout-outs. I think it's a good idea to do that.
Yes.
But you guys have to write us first so we know you exist.
Well.
Well. So we have guests later on. One is going to talk to us about networking and business and stuff, you know, with people, and which sounded pretty interesting. And then we're going to have a guest in the studio, and we're going to talk about his show upcoming, and that should be pretty interesting stuff. So you guys should stick around. You were telling me something before we went air. I'm really curious about this, so go ahead and tell me.
So this is the second time this has happened, I guess, in the last couple months, where you know, nothing major. It's very subtle, very sly. I'm at a coffee shop, of course. Okay, I walk in and I notice they're a pretty good-looking man, and he's dressed in kind of suit-like stuff, and he's kind of older, but like sexy older, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he was checking me out, and you saw the hat I had on yesterday.
Yeah,
I had a
disgusting.
I had a roughed up. It was like a faded pink hat with a little dirt on it because I hike in this thing. And I just, it was one of those days, guys, where you're like, I'm not even gonna try. It's just not. But anyway, I still looked good in my own like skeezy way.
Yeah.
So you know, so I walked in and I looked over and there's a line, and I saw that he was looking at me.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, no big deal. People look. But there's almost kind of a look of like, question mark?
Mm-hmm.
Almost like the look of, you know when somebody's kind of on the, they're scoping. They're scoping.
But how do you know he was looking at you? Were you looking at him?
Well, I was just looking and I caught his eye and then I looked away and then I was just looking around again and I noticed he was looking at me.
Right.
It's not like I was staring him down.
Right.
You know,
okay.
He just noticed these things.
Uh-huh.
So I went to go sit down and he had his coffee and he's getting some food and he was kind of, it was almost like a hunt,
mm-hmm.
almost like a dog. He was like circling around to find a seat, mm-hmm. and I knew there were other seats available, but he kind of went by me, and then like he could have sat a couple other places, and he came back and sat by me, which I don't mind. I mean, I love conversation, whatever. And so long story short, the way that we started having really good conversation, cool guy, has a wedding ring on. I respect marriage to the nth degree, and I respect women, so I would never, ever, you know, entertain that, you know what I mean? But if we're gonna have a conversation, we'll have a conversation, no worries. So we were actually, he travels a lot, he's from South Africa, really cool guy, great conversation, da 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 da. And then we start talking a little bit about marriage, and he talks about his friends, and we talk about the adventure of traveling and how it kind of gives
you. Did he come out and say he was married, or you just saw the ring?
Well, you just could see the ring, and so I asked him about his family, you know, because. Mm-hmm. But I asked him within context of what we were talking about. I mean, it wasn't anything he was hiding,
right.
Nor could you with a ring. And
yeah.
And I wasn't trying to get anywhere with the dude. So anyway, long story short, we're talking about, you know, when you're traveling and you're seeing different places, and there's kind of an adventure spirit that comes along with going out and doing things and being alone.
Right.
And that with that can have its temptations.
Mm-hmm.
And how a lot of his friends, not a lot of us, but he has some friends that are, you know, amongst their guy friends, they will, you know, have unaccountable time where they basically will cheat on their wife, and it's almost considered, you know, not that they like it, but that, you know, their friends just, it's kind of acceptable a little bit.
That's what he was telling you?
In a roundabout way, like
okay.
some not him, but some friends that he has, you know, and he doesn't condone it. He's totally against it, he says.
Mm-hmm.
And but we were just talking about how being on the road, which we've talked about, can kind of give you that kind of just an adventurous spirit, and there's really great things that come with it, but then also there's temptations because you kind of feel probably lonely, you kind of want some excitement, you want something new and different, and if you're married, I mean, there's, you have to guard yourself because it's probably easy to fall into traps.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually said that he finds more women that are in his age bracket are more prone to cheat on their husbands, because he said that what happens is they get married, women start having kids, men aren't getting any sex because the kids are the priority, and then by the time the woman, you get past those years of raising kids, the men's sex drive kind of changes and shifts, and he's more about, you know, not so much sexual, and then she gets into her late 30s and 40s, and she hits the prime of her sexual peak, and she's feeling good about herself, she's lost the baby weight, she wants to go out and be seen, and that the sexual cycles really don't add up, and that's when a lot of women that are traveling or doing whatever they're doing in that age bracket are more prone to cheat. And I thought, well, that's interesting. Anyway, so we're having these conversations, and then he's like, so you want to go get a drink?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't think it's a good idea. He's like, oh, we're just having a good chat.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, yeah, but I don't think it's a good idea for you.
Mm-hmm.
or me. And he goes, well, And then he goes, but he kept kind of bringing it up, like, let's go grab a drink. Mm-hmm. And then he goes, well, I see you have a glint in your eye. He said he saw that I had a glint. And I was like, what the hell does that mean? And I said, I like people. And we both established that we're outspoken, we're gregarious, and we like people. And he said, but you've got a naughty little glint in your eye. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what the hell is a naughty glint?
Obviously, he was seeing one because that's what he wanted. Yeah.
Exactly. So, no, yeah. I didn't go out with him or anything. And we had a great conversation. And he said he just likes to see sometimes as a man if he can still attract women because he's been married for a long time. And part of him just wants to see.
Yeah, what a sorry ass story, man. That is like fucking bullshit.
What do you think?
I mean, everybody wants to know if they're attractive, but you don't go out and do shit to prove it to yourself.
Like, he's saying, I would never take it to that level, but he likes to see if...
That's fucking bullshit. If you told him, let's go to my apartment, he would have gone.
Yeah.
This is bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't believe men, you know?
I love Sam.
They'll say anything, man.
Yeah?
They'll say anything.
Well, I didn't.
Right.
No, I mean, hello. Yeah. Not at all. Not a chance. But I just think that it's interesting that it's become... And I said, listen, I identify with the human nature. I mean... Mm-hmm. When you get married, you're not gonna only find your wife attractive. You're gonna find a lot of women attractive. You're gonna have chemistry with other people. That's biological. It's involuntary. Mm-hmm. You know, it's what you do with that chemistry. It's what you do with that attraction. It's what you do with that and meditate on it or fixate on it or if you act on it. I mean, that's what you have a choice. You know, but to say you're never gonna feel those feelings is stupid. I mean, everybody's gonna feel that.
Well, yeah, and that's why I said that marriage is not a stable. State of being, because I think you're always attracted to the other sex. It doesn't stop when you meet someone, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't stop.
Yeah, you just have to sort of let a part of you die, I think, you know? That's the only way I can deal with it, you know? It's sort of like you don't think about it. You just kind of like try to repress it.
You kind of shut it down.
Yeah.
But you have to.
You have to, otherwise you get in trouble.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so we were talking about that, but I also said, you know... I mean, he was going on about, he wasn't advocating it at all. He just said that when he travels and he loves people, he loves to do stuff, you know, and on his own with his mates and things like that. And I think guys can get guys into trouble. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes that whole sexual promiscuity or cheating thing, I really think that men have a different camaraderie sometimes where it's like a competition with each other. And it's kind of, it can be a sense of being a big man or something. And so I think if you get a lot of guys that are even married or single or whatever, and they all go out and do things together,
right,
like away from their families on the road, I mean, some of them, it's not even that they probably want to cheat on their wives. It's almost a sense of freedom and a sense of do what you want. And we're all men and we're all bros, you know?
Yeah.
Do you think that's true?
Maybe. I don't know. I haven't experienced that. But, you know, maybe it is true for single guys or whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, men will say anything. You know, they'll say what you want to hear.
Yeah.
And you have to be careful, you know. But at the same time, if you don't take it to that level and you just stick on, like, you stick to your guns and you do whatever you do, and that is talk to people.
Yeah.
Then I think it's fine, you know.
Oh, I'm not concerned for myself. I mean, because I'm not going to, that's just not going to happen. I'm just interested in the mentality of how people can get so close to the line, and some people fall over, some people don't.
Yeah.
You know, because it's a dangerous thing. And, you know, I told you guys a few months back and how I met another guy who, you know, we got our Facebook accounts exchanged. He wanted to know when I was going to be back. He wanted to hang out. And he was freaking married.
Mm.
I was like, are you insane?
Maybe you do that to men.
He goes, oh, when I travel, I get a little adventurous, is what he wrote me. I said, oh, well, good luck with those adventures. And then he was like, backpedal. He was like, oh, I didn't mean it like that. No, you did mean it. Just be a man and admit it, you know?
Yeah.
You were turned on. You wanted to do something new. I'm just like, what? Freaking weirdos.
Yeah, I know. All right, we're going to take a short break, and then our guest should be calling in. Stay with us. We'll be back right after this.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
Shitty Talk Radio proliferates the internet. Two people have teamed up to save the world. It's Sam and Kara in the morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
All right, I think our guest is calling. Good morning, you're on the air with Sam and Kara. Who is this? Yes, good morning to you. How are you, Marcia?
Very well. How about you?
Good, good. I was rushing to get your call because we were on a break, and I saw you called. So thank you for calling us. Where are you calling from?
I am calling from Reading, Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. Are you guys feeling the summer yet, or is it still cold up there?
Oh, it's 95 degrees here today.
95, my God. We don't even get that hot here. Well, have you lived there all your life in Pennsylvania?
Just about.
Oh, well, that's cool. So do you come to L.A. sometimes?
Every now and then.
Really? Sounds good.
Yeah. I come out there on business every now and then.
Sounds good. Well, you're one of Pennsylvania's 50 best women in business. Then I guess you keep yourself pretty busy.
I try to, but don't hold that against me there, Sam.
We won't hold it against you, but I think it's a pretty good title. You know,
I would, you know, put it on a t-shirt and wear it every day.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure you're letting the whole world know about it. I would.
I mean, we do.
Yeah, we do.
we get an award. We're like, hey, in case you missed it, it's archived. Hey, in case you can't find it, here's the website. Hey, in case. Anyway.
Yeah.
Back to you.
So what does it mean to be a best woman in business? What is it that you do?
Well, it's. I was selected that, along with 50 other women, based on how you manage your business and how much you give back to your community. I wasn't on the judging panel, but I believe that they weighed a number of those things, and that certainly has been an honor for me. And I was in the insurance business for about 25 years, and now I have my own business, which is a consulting and coaching firm where I help people get out of their own way.
Sounds good. Especially in business, right? Yeah. So you're kind of like a therapist for business people. So
I wouldn't go that far. Therapy goes back. Coaching goes forward.
Right.
And what we're trying to do is get people to set goals that are going to help them reach their dreams rather than just kind of going on every day and not being happy with who they are or what they're doing.
Right. Mm. So are these not like business people or, I mean, mostly, right?
Most of my clients are business people. Mm-hmm. And a couple of them are people who want to end up getting into business, such as some people who took some time off to raise children and things like that. But most of the people that we work with are in corporate America, or they're entrepreneurs, and many of them are just a little bit stuck, and they feel like they're in a rut, and that's one of the things that coaching is so good for. It helps people stretch and look at the true possibilities, and many times when you're not achieving something, it's because of some self-limiting beliefs or because you're, like I said, you're in your own way.
Right, right. So you set goals and everything, and then I know you mentioned something about networking. Can you talk a little bit about that? I know that's very very important when you want to really put yourself out there. You gotta know the people. You gotta make people know you.
That's exactly right. And so many people out there think that they have to do it all themselves. Mm-hmm. And when you think about what a network is, it's a net. And there are little knots in it. If you can just envision a net, and that is everyone who touches you is just one piece of string away from you, but that next knot goes to another person. And Sam, if you know only 200 people and they know only 200 people, that's 40,000 people that are one degree of separation away from you.
Mm.
And so many people just don't value their network, they don't take care of it, and they don't use it. And that is one of the strategies that is really helpful for people in business and just about anything.
Right. So how do people go about networking? I mean, you know, some people have limited time. They run their business and so forth. What are some of the ways to meet people?
Well, I'll tell you what. When you tell a business person that they should build their network, they kind of cringe. It's like, oh, no, do I have to go to another one of those functions? And do I have to hand out business cards? And what I like to challenge people to think about is make it fun. Because it's very, it's interesting to get to know about other people. The wrong approach is to go to a networking function and, let's just say, you sell TVs. To go there and try and sell people a TV, they'll be put off, they won't like it. And what we challenge people to do is find out about the other person, and if you can help them in any way that has nothing to do with your business or your TV sales, because if you help them and their TV breaks 2 years from now, they'll remember you.
Right.
So networking is actually, it can be fun when it's an outreach and when you care about the other person more than you care about yourself.
Right. And it seems to, you know, to apply to personal lives as well. I think if you are dating, you know, you go out and you start talking about yourself all the time, you're going to alienate these people, you know.
You said that right.
Yeah.
And we all know those people.
Yeah.
And you can spot them a mile coming. And I mean, I've been to networking events where I see the person with his 20 business cards, and his goal is to go out, to give 20 people his 20 business cards, and then to go back to his office and write the obligatory form letter saying, "It was great meeting you. Do you want to buy a TV?"
Yeah, I know. And Kira tells us all the time how when she dates and stuff, a lot of men are really concerned with themselves, right, Kira?
Yeah, I definitely think that it boils down to the way you see relationships. And there's consumer-based relationships and commitment-based relationships. Certainly when you're doing business with somebody, to have a consumer-based relationship that's basically centered around products, goods, and services, that's appropriate. However, at the end of the day, I mean, you can exchange whatever, but if you don't value the person standing in front of you, they're going to feel it, they're going to remember it, and it's just not going to have any longevity. So from an effective standpoint, I totally agree with what you're saying, because even if it's known that everybody's here to kind of exchange goods, services, barter, whatever, and promote, it's also people really want to invest in people that make them feel good and that they're excited about and that they believe in. So you really can't...
And they trust.
Exactly. You can't avoid being authentic and genuine. And if you're just the next dude pushing out business cards and whatever. I mean, I live in Hollywood. It is the mecca of networking. I mean, it is the mecca of networking. And I got to be honest, the word networking does make me nauseous because you see such an abuse of it. And you see it to the nth degree where no one really is getting anywhere doing it out here. I mean, but then there's a way to do it where you're actually engaged with who you're talking to. You're actually focused in, tuned in. You actually care. And that, I've seen fruit. I've seen really cool things come out of that because those were authentic and genuine connections as opposed to what can you do for me? What can I get from you? Blah, 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 blah. And there's so much of that out here that you have to kind of go about it more, I think, more creatively, actually.
Yeah.
Well, I tell people that if they go to a networking function and they have one good 15-minute discussion with one person, if they do that every time they go to a networking function, they will amass a bunch of people where you've had a trust-building conversation. One of my recommendations, I call it the 50 lunch launch, and that is go out to lunch with someone new once a week or breakfast. It doesn't have to be lunch. And just sit and have lunch and talk to each other about what's important to both of you.
Right.
And you can talk a little bit of business, but at the end of a year's time, you have 50 new people in your network who know what you do, and they can share what you do with the other people in their network.
I really agree with that.
It's actually fun.
Well, it sounds like I think really getting to the heart of what you're talking about has a lot to do with how you view people. And see, you like people. You can tell. You genuinely, your business is thriving, not only because of your skill set, but because you value people. And it's authentic. And it's, you can hear it, you can see it. I don't even know you, but you can feel it in the phone. Like, you're going to go out and you're going to value the person in front of you regardless. I mean, regardless if they make you a millionaire or not, you're going to give them 110% of your time when you're with them. But a lot of people, they don't feel or they don't value people. And that's, I think, why they're in people-centered business. They're people-centered businesses about people, and they're afraid of people. They're, you know, I think those are kind of the big stumbling blocks.
Yeah.
Well, some people who are shy or quiet, I mean, if you cringe about networking, the shy and quiet people really cringe, and that's because they think they have to be outgoing to build a network. Well, you build a network one conversation at a time.
Right.
And if you're other-directed, if you care about the other person more than you care about yourself, that person's going to want to talk to you.
Right.
Because most people are pretty self-oriented. And if someone's truly interested in another person, whether you're quiet or not, it pays a lot of dividends.
Right.
And that's what kind of makes it all fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would imagine, you know, you can't afford to be shy and just sit in the corner and not say anything. You know, you need to be out there. I wanted to ask you, are social networks effective in networking?
Actually, they are. And for that quiet or shy person, they have, it depends on how you do it. Some people do it poorly, just like with in-person networking. But on places like Facebook and LinkedIn and some other very focused networks, it's a really good way for people to build relationships and help each other.
Mm.
I still think that the in-person thing, it will go a long way faster, but I've actually seen some very great success stories about building networks online.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That seems to work. So now you also sent us like three ways that you know, people can do, or let me rephrase this. Three ways that people can network. And why don't you go ahead and list those for us? Tell us a little bit about this.
Okay. The very first thing, and Kara, you kind of nailed it there, is focus on them. Don't focus on yourself.
Mm.
And so when you're in a networking situation or having a conversation with someone, the worst thing you can do is look over their shoulder to see who better is out there.
I know.
That's rude.
It's very,
Can you come to Hollywood and like kind of give everybody a little bit of
do some coaching,
do some
here.
Boot camp out here, because people in Hollywood, they just it's ridiculous. It's rampant for people to just do exactly
very
what you're saying.
Very self-focused.
Yeah. Anyway, go on with what you're saying.
Yeah. Who's the star? Where are my fans?
Yeah. Exactly. I do this. I do that. I know this. I know that. You know.
Yeah. It's
exactly.
All the time.
Yeah.
It's all the time.
Okay. So you focus on the people.
Yeah. You focus on them,
right,
and listen to them. Don't listen to respond. Listen to hear. And you don't have to spend 2 hours with this person, but the 5 minutes or the 10 minutes you spend with someone, be totally engaged. That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing that's important in building your network is to let people know what you do. Now, you don't do that outright. What you do first is focus on them, and if you ask 10 questions about them, they won't be able to stand it. Ultimately, they'll say, well, Carol, what do you do? And that's when you're going to get a chance to explain how you help people.
Mm.
And I like to tell people, talk about how you help, not what you sell. And that way it sounds other-directed. And what you need to do is advertise and let people know how you can help, because otherwise your network won't work. If no one knows that I'm an executive coach or a life coach, they won't be able to share my information with other people.
That's right. A good
so
point.
I do need to let people know what I do.
Yeah.
And then the last thing is to remember the little things. And when you meet someone, if you know that they are a Boston Red Sox fan and the Boston Red Sox win the series, if you send them a quick email, that goes much farther than you sending your e-newsletter out every month.
Right. Yeah. Well, that makes sense, and you know. So, go ahead.
Oh, no. Go ahead.
See, she's okay. So good at it. She's like, no, you.
Yeah, let's focus on
you're really,
Sam.
Really good. She's good at this.
Yeah. And I know, and you know, advertise your success. We were talking about tooting your own horn and stuff. I don't think it's a bad thing. You got to let people know who you are and what you've accomplished because nobody else is going to do it for you.
Unfortunately not.
Yeah.
And you do need to, I mean, you don't want to be in someone's face, but if someone asks you how your day was, you might just want to let them know a little bit about how your day was rather than saying, oh, it was nothing.
Right.
Or, oh, it was the standard day. You might want to say, hey, I had a really great coaching call this afternoon with one of my clients, and she's doing this and that, and I'm really happy with the way I'm helping her.
Right.
That's an indirect way of letting people know what you do.
Yeah. Well, sounds very interesting. I mean, that's very enlightening. You know, I'm an advocate for networking. I don't do it as much as I should, but I know, you know, when I get together with someone, I try to really focus on them, and it's something I don't really have to work hard at. It's just something that I think after you do it for a while, you just it just comes out naturally, you know, and you know, so it works. It really works, you know, when you focus on the other person, and I think there's a time for everything, you know, and there's a time where you can advertise your successes, like you said, and but first I think you got to get their guard down, you know, and I think you can do that by just a social type of a conversation.
Oh, exactly. You want to build trust rather than, I don't know about you, but if I walk into a department store and a salesman jumps all over me and tries to sell me something, I'm not about to be sold.
Right.
But if they have a casual conversation with me and they find out what I'm looking for and they try to help me, I'm probably going to be a little bit more open to it.
Right.
You know, I have to go. I have to go here in the conversation. I was trying not to, but oh well. I just, and this is just what I believe in, and I just see the spiritual power, the spiritual biblical parallels to what we're talking about. See, I moved to LA, and you really want to kick everything off, and you want to get your business going, and you want to be a superstar. And so you learn, you get the headshots, you get the business cards, and you know, you're working your three jobs, and you're kissing everyone's ass, and you're getting nowhere. And you're just another one of those girls, you know what I mean? And I feel like I had to kind of hit rock bottom, and I felt like what God really has been showing me, it's not a finished type thing, but that his economy is people. God's economy and his priorities are people. And a lot of times we look at people as tools and resources only, as opposed to really looking at them at their soul and their heart. And I think when our priorities line up with God, I really think that things become organic, and when you start really valuing people the way God does, I think that those connections organically develop, and I feel that the fruit that comes out of it is much better and richer and long-lasting than you could have manufactured. And I think that it translates into business. I mean, because I think it's a beautiful spiritual biblical principle where it becomes about the person and not about the commodity, not about their service, but it becomes about them. And then you start realizing, well, it's so much more fulfilling, even when you had 15 minutes or an hour conversation with somebody and they can't help your business, but you really help them in some spiritual or emotional or in some physical capacity, that has a longer lasting effect. And I think it's a better way to live life, mm-hmm. to be honest, because at the end of the day, you know, we all live, we all die, done.
And that was your Bible lesson for today.
But I'm just telling you, when you take off the hat and you just start being a human being, and you start loving people first before what they can give you, you actually start realizing, oh my gosh, not only is this more fulfilling, it actually works. People are remembering me, and people are actually saying, oh, I want you to meet this person because they have this, and I think you guys would really work out, and the connections just organically develop. And so I agree with the principles, but I also get jazzed to kind of see how it lines up with what God teaches. So, yeah. Amen, hallelujah.
There is a huge correlation between business people who give and give back and having successful businesses. And it's hard to know whether it's the chicken or the egg.
Right.
Because some businesses will give back to the community because they've been successful. But a lot of people give first, and, you know, when people see others giving of their time and being committed to community efforts and things like that, they're a little bit more willing to throw business their way. I think it's because they trust them more.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's all about the trust, you know? I really do.
And that's what they say in sales. It's all about like and trust. You can like somebody, not trust them. You can trust somebody, but not like them. You have to have like and trust.
Mm. Okay.
And no one will buy from you unless they trust you.
Right.
That's true.
And
they've
I think that's what it boils
you.
Down to. Yeah. Well, Marcia Egan, of course, and that's E-G-A-N. Do you have a website where people can find you?
I certainly do. It's MarciaEgan.com, MarciaEgan.com, and find me on LinkedIn. I'm there too.
Sounds good.
Marcia Egan.
And the company is the Egan Group. And thank you so much, Marcia, for your time and
thank you.
For all this enlightenment. And we're gonna definitely put this to work. I'll make sure that Kira does.
Yeah.
I trust that.
Yeah. Thank you so much, and all the best to you, Marcia.
And have a great day.
Bye-bye. All right, so that's Marcia Egan. And always nice to have cool people on the line.
Yeah, it's really funny because that subject is constantly... Like, if you're in the entertainment industry and you haven't, quote-unquote, made it yet, even if you make it or whatever, it's the networking thing is the most nauseating thing. Because it's not nauseating for me to do it in the way I meet people, but... Mm-hmm. The cultural tone, it's so like, you know, this woman's actually breaking it down and explaining to you why it's effective and to actually, you know, focus on people, whereas out here it's like a rat race who can get their crappy shit into someone else's hands quicker. And it's not, they're not necessarily talented, they're not necessarily likable. They're just, hey, how's it going?
Well, you know, but if you network, you know, just because they say it's not what you know, it's who you know.
Yeah.
You know, if you go and network and stuff, you're going to know a lot of people and people in good positions, you know, where they can help you out.
No, I'm not talking about, like, networking's bad. I think it's great.
But
there's a way to do it. And there's a way to actually be authentic as opposed to being somebody that is just another one of these people that are just in the freaking way and won't shut up.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you see, you by nature a networker, and you know.
But you know why I am?
But you meet a lot of married men and all that stuff.
Yeah, I network with them too.
No, why are you?
Because I care about people.
Yeah.
That's bottom line.
Yeah.
And because God, it's a God thing. Yeah. I care about people. I love people because of God. I mean, I'm not perfect. There's some people that I want to backhand them a couple times and ask for forgiveness later. But no, I mean, because if you love God and you love people, then you're not concerned as much about, I got to get ahead. You have to kind of sacrifice your own glory and your own fame. And you go, you know what? It's in God's hands. This life is on loan. So, you know what? If I don't reach the mountaintop in the eyes of the world, it's not about that. It's like, how did I live my life? And did I love greatly? Did I love deeply? Did I invest in people? And that's the stuff that we don't necessarily in this lifetime get accolades for. You may, but you may not.
Yeah.
And that's the stuff that matters.
Yeah. Were you always outgoing and a people person, or
pretty
did
much.
You have to work
yeah,
at it?
I wasn't. Yeah. No, I definitely was. I mean, I went through stages when I went through stages where I was you know, made fun of in school. I mean, stages. It wasn't like an all the time thing.
Right.
I went through stages where I was completely nervous a lot. Anytime I'd be in front of people, I'd get nervous. So I know what it's like to have to kind of battle through that. Even when I moved out here and I took a class at the Groundlings, and I mean, it's something I'm supposed to be good at, which is comedy, and I would be terrified going.
Yeah.
I mean, I paid for it, and then I'd even like skip a couple classes because I was so intensely insecure.
Yeah.
So I know what it's like to feel fear and have to push through it and have to get on the other side of it.
Right. But you got to do it anyway, you know?
You do, but it's like, I think knowing yourself and getting to a place where you're really comfortable with your talents and gifts, I think that's a process and a journey.
Yeah, you have to be comfortable
you
with yourself. Otherwise,
yeah, you can't force it.
Yeah. You know, so, I'm here to say that, you know, for shy people, for insecure people, you know, the best way to get out of that is to just do it anyway. Feel the fear and do it anyway.
Yeah.
And approach
face your fear,
people.
Right?
Yeah. Approach people. I mean, what's the worst thing that can happen?
Yeah.
Is they're not interested in talking to you.
Were you
know?
Always
so,
really
deal.
Shy?
Yeah. I mean, I used to be, and especially with women, you know, I seldom walk up to a woman and strike up a conversation if I don't know her, you know. So, you know, so when I've dated, it often happened when women would approach me, you know, or if I met them through someone or things like that. But you won't catch me dead in a bar picking up a woman, you know. Maybe now I would, you know, in my older age. But from what I remember in the past, I would not do that.
No.
You know.
Well,
I
mean,
I missed out on a lot because of it.
Well, I think you're doing good now.
Yeah, now I'm fine.
You're doing good.
Now I'm fine. I strike up conversations with anyone. But,
yeah.
But still, I mean, you know, the things that those men do with you at the coffee shops and stuff. You see, I would never do that. I would never do that, but it sucks because then I miss out, you know, on meeting someone cool.
Yeah, I mean, what I've learned is that people aren't that concerned with me as I am with me.
Mm.
So if I'm intensely insecure about something, guess what? Nobody else has the time to give a crap.
Right, exactly.
Nobody's thinking about me that much.
Yeah.
And people don't know, they don't know your insecurities. They don't know what you're nervous about only if you let them know.
Right.
So you have a real advantage. So if you're insecure about the way you look or if you're insecure about, I don't know, not knowing a subject, or if you're insecure about, I don't know what it is, fill in the blank. Guess what? They don't really know that you're insecure about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I feel that we're all kind of the same. And that's,
right.
Like, everybody kind of has the same desires, pretty much.
Mm.
And the same, a lot of the same basic fears.
Yeah.
So those things connect. I mean, you can have really human connections because, you know, everybody likes to eat, right? Pretty much.
I guess they do.
Everybody likes to feel good.
Some more than others, yeah.
Yeah. So, some people love to feel good. They want to feel good. They want to feel special.
Yeah.
There's some real basic human needs. If you just tap into them, you're like, oh, we're having a conversation.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Well, maybe I'll start doing that more often, you know. But that's the thing is I think a woman will always think I'm hitting on her, you know, even if you just want to have a conversation. So there's that sexual tension always, you know, and especially, you know, since you're usually people are attracted to good looking people, you know, so then it intimidates sometimes, I think.
Yeah.
You know,
well, maybe try it with men.
But the amazing thing is a lot of good looking people are insecure. You know, you just don't know it.
Oh, I know it.
Yeah.
I have a lot of good friends that are. I'm like, why are you so hot and you work out all the time just to be this like self-obsessed and
sad
because and insecure.
It's deeper issues. That's
well,
why.
Well, I understand.
You know,
I'm not trivializing what they're going through. I just think of it like we live in a society that really tells us to look a certain way, buy into this, be this way. And you look at those people that supposedly, quote unquote, have it all.
Mm-hmm.
They're not necessarily more happy. A lot of them actually are worse.
Right.
They're so obsessed. They can't enjoy what they have. They don't feel good about themselves, even when they look gorgeous.
Right.
And you're like, well, maybe it's better to kind of look average and not have that many things and love life and be happy.
Yeah. But
as
it's
opposed
best to have all of it, I think, you know?
Yeah, but really what everybody's trying to get the same thing. They're just the people that are going about it a certain way, and they keep promoting it as though, well, do this and you'll have this. And you look at them, you're like, oh, you really don't have that. So why would I kill myself trying to be super rich, super hot, super X, Y, and Z, and you don't have what I have?
Right.
It's pretty phenomenal. Like when I leave L.A. and I go to like the Midwest or the South or something, and I see people married that are really heavy set, let themselves go physically, and I see them walking around with their fanny packs. And then I look at them and I get to know them and I'm like, wow, they've got a loving husband or wife.
Mm-hmm.
They have great kids. They're loving life. They're full of joy. And there's just something really beautiful about what they have.
Mm-hmm.
That all these people that are getting plastic surgery, starving themselves, trying to be super hot, that they can't even have a marriage that lasts 6 months in LA.
Yeah.
You can't even have a lasting marriage of 6 months. You're trying to tell me you're more happy going through people like, you know, water and you know, constantly focusing on yourself? You're more happy with your fake tan and boobs than the people that are heavy set but that like have true love and a family?
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You kind of put the happiness factor together and you go,
yeah, I mean, yeah, that's one thing about happiness.
I'm not saying I want to be overweight. I'm just saying we've got it twisted.
Mm-hmm.
We got it twisted in this society.
Okay. We're going to take another break. Hopefully our guest is here. We'll be back right after this.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
Phone lines are open on Sam and Karen in the Morning. Pick up your phone and jump in on the conversation. Dial 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815 and get in on the fun. Now, let's get back to Sam and Karen in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
All right, well, our guest is not here yet. Probably come in any minute.
So, you want to tell everybody how you wanted to go to the bathroom, but...
It's just that, you know, when I go to a public restroom and there's someone there taking a crap, I can't stay in there. I have to leave, you know. I have to leave. And sometimes they're just so quiet that even if I wanted to, I couldn't go and pee if I wanted to, you know.
That's so funny.
Yeah. I guess... is our guest here?
Yeah.
No, that's not our guest.
Oh.
What? Yeah, what's going on here? I don't know what's going on. Anyway, you see, that's what happens when they don't get here on time. There's too much commotion going on here, folks.
When someone's taking a big crunch in the bathroom,
yeah,
and you've got to pee.
Yeah, I can't do it. You know, if it's too quiet, then I know they're listening for me and stuff. You
well,
know,
they probably
I can't
they
go,
prob-
so I just go wash my hands and
they probably
I leave.
Don't want you in there while they're taking a dropping a deuce.
I'm sure. I just you know, I don't understand people going to the bathroom, and you know, unless sometimes you have like an upset stomach like you did the other day and stuff. I can
whatever.
Understand
I didn't
that.
Take a crap.
I don't know what you did, but at the same time,
you don't know what my bowel movements are. You're gonna say it on the freaking radio, Sam?
What?
I just had to pee.
Okay.
Number one.
No, there was.
There was one time. I don't do number twos. I'm a
there
girl.
There was one time. Okay, you don't do number twos. Okay, that's true. Girls don't do number twos, huh? They never go to the bathroom. No, but I mean, I feel that you should take a crap at home before you leave, you know, or wait till you get home. That's what I do. I can't go in public restroom.
Oh my gosh, I had the worst experience though. I'll tell you guys because I don't have to look at any of you guys listening. But I was invited to an acting class. I was gonna get free acting classes from a really great teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what this guy's doing right now. I'm going to save the story because it's quite embarrassing, and it looks like we're about to have a guest in, and I don't want him to know about this.
Uh-huh.
Because it's great if I tell the story and I don't have to look at people.
Yeah.
But it's funny because we had Reese in the studio, who was the one that called up that one day with my roommates.
Right.
You know, and I was just like, there's just no way I'm not gonna be whatever.
Yeah. Well, our guest is here, so go ahead, get comfortable and stuff. And we have that's okay. You can make noise, man. No big deal. Just put on your headphones and get comfortable. Stay close to the mic. And we have X in the studio, and that's the name you go by. And you're gonna start a new show with us on Sunday.
I am.
Yeah.
Sunday the 13th of June, I believe.
Yeah. Sounds good. What's the show called?
Planet X Radio.
Planet X Radio. Yeah. Now, you told me something about Planet X, but it went one ear through the other. So tell me what Planet X is.
Planet X Radio is a show that I've developed for a long time. I've been meaning to get it connected out here since I moved out here to the West Coast. It's a show regarding topics that are not easily discussed at your local dinner table, if you know what I mean.
I see.
So it's,
okay. Well, usually sex is not discussed around the table, but that's not what you're talking about.
No, definitely not sex on this one. This is about world politics,
uh-huh.
Shadow elite, governmental facilities that are not being shared with us, the common citizens here.
Let's just prophecies. Jump right into it. Like the Amero, we're talking about the Illuminati. What else are we talking about?
The Illuminati is part of it. It's
okay.
A big part of it,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, I like this.
Shadow government, Illuminati.
Yeah, we're rocking and rolling here. Okay.
I guess we have a fan already.
No, I mean, I don't know. I just want to kind of get to it. So what's
Tell
the
me.
Deal? Real quick, where are you from?
East Coast.
Yeah, but where?
Well, he doesn't want to get into
I really
oh,
don't want to
oh,
get
okay.
into that
yeah.
right now.
Okay, yeah. But you've got like, do you tan?
I just came back from Puerto Rico.
Okay, because the dude's rocking a tan. It's rocking a
Very
fresh
good
glow.
Tan.
Yeah, and do you do the hair color?
No.
You don't? It's your natural color?
It's my natural color.
Yeah. That's something you don't ask people.
Yeah,
here,
you
right?
do. Yeah, you do. Well,
you don't ask if you dye your hair.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. In
well,
L.A., in L.A., first of all, I'm a girl. He doesn't care. Second of all, it's L.A. Welcome to L.A. This
but
is
he's on the radio. But then again, nobody will know you.
So we talk cool. about when you dyed your hair, so come on.
Yeah, but that was me, you know.
No, of course not.
No, not anymore. But I did one time, and it ended up looking like shit, man. I put blonde and black and blonde and black on it, and it looked like shit.
It looked like a rainbow.
It actually did. It didn't look bad. It was just different. It was just
yeah,
totally,
it was different.
It was just
yeah.
totally different. So,
tell
what,
me, Karen.
What brought you out to L.A.?
A bunch of things. The weather, first of all.
Okay, got weather's the first top 10 reasons.
First reason.
Yes.
Really? So it was the weather. You decided...
No, I just wanted to change. I had a buddy out here in Las Vegas, in Nevada. And,
oh, cool.
Got together with him, and from there, I moved from Nevada out here to L.A., and I have been here for a good 5-6 years ever since.
Really? How long did you live in Vegas?
About 2 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you like it there?
Different.
Yeah, Vegas. Different. Huh?
Vegas is great, but it's different.
Yeah. It's different when you live
it
there,
is.
Huh? You would know.
Very
it is very different.
Is
yeah.
what would you say that the Vegas what than living there? How is that?
A lot more tourism than LA, believe it or not. Just people all over the United States, all over.
Yeah.
I mean,
over the world,
reasons,
yeah.
All over the world, a lot of tourism.
Right.
Vegas
yeah.
doesn't have the. When I went there, I've only been there twice, and I never really lived it up when I was there, so I must say that. But to me, it doesn't have that amazing sparkle vibe that you think it would have. It feels a bit trashy and crunchy.
Mm. It can be condensed at times. I know what you mean by that. Yeah, it's very, you know.
Yeah.
Like full.
I just didn't think it was amazing. But yeah. anyway, back to you. So you did
Tell
Vegas.
Me.
You moved
did
down
Vegas.
Here for just a change. Just a change?
That's the best way of putting it. A change. Yeah.
Change.
Do you have people trying to collect or something? Or are you just...
No.
You guys, he's so secretive. So no. This just excites me. I gotta pull it out.
Hey, ask away. Yeah. You won't get much out of it.
I know. Guys. I see it. But I do notice you got some roughed up knuckles. What's going on here?
Well, it's from, you know...
Get into
what's the correct word? Self-defense? Is that,
did
that,
you really?
Is, that correct?
Is it really? No, it just looks like dry skin, though. It looks like
no. It's you're really very good.
You're,
I like
you're totally checking
good.
Him out. His hair, his knuckles.
Is your hair dyed? No. It's a combination of both. Like I said, I just got back from Puerto Rico. It's very hot, humid there. And,
so people get sassy and get a little mouthy with you?
No, of course not. No.
Then what happens?
I just forgot to put my
lotion.
Jergens cream on this one. I was late for LA Talk Radio. That's all right.
What did you guys do in Puerto Rico?
Just hung out. Beach it, tan it, as you can see.
Yeah,
see
I can
tan?
See. I see the tan.
All right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you had an opportunity for a trip. Why did you choose Puerto Rico?
Just wanted to go there. I've never been there before.
Really? You had this desire to go there?
Just beautiful.
I've heard
really?
It.
I had a couple friends from Puerto Rico. They told me about it, obviously, and it's just beautiful.
Really?
Beautiful place.
So, I mean, is there stuff to do there? I mean, did you guys keep busy, or is it like...
Dirt. Well, of course there is, but for me, it was just...
Say you're sorry.
These guys
you can't
here
say that. Work. Say you're sorry, Sam.
Well, you're giving me a hard time.
But
what
you can't
do you
say that
say?
Word.
Okay, I take it back.
Okay, there you go.
All right, witch.
Oh, witch. The W.
That's
the
better.
W.
That's better. There's some kind of stigma that word has, but you can call me that. It's good. Back anyway.
All right.
I just wanted to go for the relaxation.
Yeah.
Do a little bit of jet skiing, water skiing. Other than that, just the relaxation.
Yeah, that's cool, man. How long were you there? A week or so?
6 days. Something
yeah.
A week, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And you're married, right?
I am married. I am.
Right. How long have you guys been married?
A year and 3 months.
Really?
Yeah.
So you guys
and
are newlyweds still,
still
kind
newlyweds,
of, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you meet here, out here in L.A.?
My wife's from California. I met her out
uh-huh.
here. Yes, I did.
That's
yeah.
awesome, man.
That's great.
Yeah.
California people are pretty cool. I mean, I think so. I think most of them are, you know.
Yeah.
So you guys met where?
Out here.
Oh, you met out here?
L.A., yeah.
California. Oh, okay.
You're
perfect.
Not listening.
You're right, I wasn't.
It's still
sorry.
Part of California.
Cool. Well, that's awesome.
You see, you forget things, too, because you don't listen.
I'm not
but
sorry.
It happens on the radio show, you know?
It
we're
happens.
Always, like, 10 steps ahead. So yeah.
I'm very excited to be here. I want to thank LA Talk Radio for having me here. Sam,
of course.
Tara,
I mean,
you know?
you're such a cool guy, you
thank
know?
Thank
I mean, we only spoke for, like, 10, 15 minutes, you know? But he's, like, really cool, you know?
Thank you.
And
thank
you. You come across as someone tough, like this tough guy and everything. But you're not like that at all.
No, you're cool. You're laid back.
Yeah.
What's with the secret thing? I know it's going to tie into your show, mm-hmm. and I know that I purposely don't know your name on purpose because...
Yeah, Sam, I didn't tell her.
Sam was like, you're probably accidentally saying it, so you're totally safe. Like, there's nothing I'm going to say. But I'm curious about the context of your show, why is it part of the sensationalism of it, or is it really for protection?
It's a very good question. It's a combination of both. I wouldn't necessarily say it's for protection. It's... X is usually attributed to the unknown,
uh-huh.
the X factor, the unknown.
Yeah.
Planet X Radio are topics that we discuss that are unknown in a sense. We're not getting the truth.
Yeah,
we're not getting the truth from our political leaders. We're not getting the truth from everyone.
Right.
So I got an email a couple days ago. You know, X, why do you call your show X? I'm just curious. And I said the same thing I'm saying to you guys. I attribute X to the unknown. And the topics we're going to deal with are unknown topics. And the answers can vary. Because getting to the bottom, investigative journalism, investigative reporter, getting to the bottom of things, usually attributed to X, the unknown figures. So I think it works out perfect for my personality.
So it's not that you're afraid somebody's going to come and whack you.
No.
It's not so much that. It's just kind of keeping some anonymity and...
Exactly. It goes with that.
With the theme of the show.
I've had that name for my radio personality, even back east.
Really?
Most of my back east radio was nightlife radio, entertainment radio, clubs, and I still use that. So it's been with me for a while.
Yeah, okay. So it's branded as well. Okay. Yeah. I'm just curious because, there's just so much fear with... So much fear upon fear about, I believe this, or I believe that, and the political affiliations, everybody's just quiet about it. And I understand there can be repercussions, but I kind of feel like fear breeds fear. So I like to kind of break it up. Not that I'm an expert at it, but so I didn't know if that was the context.
No, it's part of it, but it's not, I'd be lying, it's not the most important part of it.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, so he's cool, he's safe, guys, don't worry, nobody's killing him.
Right.
Okay.
So that's the radio show, but what's Planet X? Explain to me where you got the name, why are you using that name for the show?
Planet X, is, as I was saying, it just, for me, it's for instance, Planet X is an unknown planet that NASA...
Okay, that's what I meant.
You know what I'm saying? It's that may or may not be in our galaxy. So for me, it's all about the unknown.
I see.
I like dwelling... My show is exactly that. It's about the unknown.
Really?
These are topics... Sam, care that you don't necessarily talk about at your dinner table when you're watching reruns of Seinfeld.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
These are topics that some people may have be a little, standoffish to talk about. Not too many people want to go against what they're told.
Right.
A lot of people are comfortable to come home from work, watch CNN, watch the news, and they're happy what they're told. Planet X Radio helps us uncover what we're not being told why we're not being told.
And where do you get your information from?
Yeah, that's a good question.
My information comes from years of studying knowledge, internet seminars, archives, a lot of talk radio, listening, lot of reading, a lot of archived footage, archived libraries. You spend a lot of time in the library doing a lot of these research. Wow. These are not books you get at the local library. A lot of internet sites, a lot of internet research, very good tools used on the internet to research all the archived material that's out there. And,
what would you say some of your trusted sources are as far as like media? Do you listen to any of the secular like media that's out there as far as mainstream or?
Mainstream, no. I like probably 99% of the people who will listen to Planet X Radio. I'm a big listener to Coast to Coast AM with George Nori, Art Bell. They are the two best personalities in these type of topics in the world, hands down. I've been listening to them for about 16 years. I listen to View from Space, Gary Bell, Spaceman on AM640 Toronto up in Canada. I stream that. Just people with personalities like that, media like that helps. You don't try to, emulate. You grab your own style, your own tools, and that's what I'm trying to do, and that's what Planet X is going to be about.
Yeah, that's cool. So how did you ever get into this? I mean, is this something that you've been interested in all your life, or is it later?
In my later teens, I started getting interested in ufology and UFOs, and I had a little abnormal personality in a sense. I'd be playing soccer one day, and then I'd be watching a UFO movie. I've always been interested in science fiction, and if that could possibly happen on this world, on this place we call Earth. So I've always had an interest in ufology and UFOs in the sense of if it's true, if we've been visited, what are the possibilities of intergalactic travel? And
did you see the light recently? Was a few months back, about a month back, that light that we saw that was over Missouri?
It was on the internet. I watched that on AboveTopSecret.com. It's another great
website. What did you think about it?
Interesting.
Well, it's interesting, but did you have any speculations as to like
belief or fact? I mean, my belief is that obviously there's a lot of strange. There's that strange light in Arizona that happened in '97. That was even bigger than that one. I mean, there's a lot of things that are definitely going on there. My belief is that we have something. Something is definitely going on. Is it real or is it conclocked? That's still yet to be remained. That's one of the questions we're going to try to answer on Planet X Radio.
Right. So now, are you of the mind that that the government is hiding UFO stuff from us?
I believe the government of this country and governments around the world know certain things that the average citizen do not. I mean, if you take a look at all the whistleblowers and information that's come public, the British government coming forward with their UFO reports, excuse me, the British defense minister as well. There's a lot of things, even the Canadians are starting to come through with that. There's a lot of things that are not being told.
Really? So there's actually UFO reports that the government publishes?
Absolutely. Not the United States government, but governments around Brazilian, the British government, like I said, some even Middle Eastern governments as well. So they're starting to come out now, slowly but surely, releasing it to the public. And for some reason, we're just not told the absolute truth.
Yeah.
But that's nothing new, right? As far as, like,
not.
I mean, the idea and the concept that, you know, your government, in some ways, they can't tell us everything because of defense and protection. And, you know, I think in some ways, some of the things that are public, I'm like, why the hell is that public?
Some things.
I'm like, why is our you know, military strategies and our needs and what the you know, what's not being taken care of on the defense end? Why are we publicizing that to our enemies? Yeah. I think that that's stupid, and I don't understand. On the other end, there's other things that, you know, we're not told that you kind of go, oh, wait a minute, would have been nice to know.
Very true.
Would have nice if we got a memo on that one, right?
Very true on that. Yeah.
So what do you think about? You said that. So this is something that these topics are not your average topics over dinner, over a date night, or whatever. Obviously the radio is a great outlet for anybody that has a special interest or topic, but do you have these conversations with people out and about? I mean, where do you have these conversations apart from radio?
Very good question, Kara. I have a lot of friends who are my friends and don't agree with my ideology on certain things. These are good friends of mine, believe it or not. And they ask me, X, what's truth to you? And I say to them the same thing I'm going to say to my viewer, you know, people who listen to Planet X Radio. Truth to me is making a disbeliever into a believer. That's what truth is to me.
Really?
It's not something easy. You're looked upon a certain way. Oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. You're a crackpot. You're a spaz. You're a nut job. You're this. You're that. And that's fine. The mainstream usually, it's part of their tool to make people labeled that way. It's considered taboo. It's a very difficult topic to discuss with people who don't want to keep an open mind to things that, hey, maybe, you know what, we're not being told the truth about a lot of things.
Yeah.
A lot of things are being kept hidden for us for a reason. And, you know, I don't try to tiptoe around it at all with anybody. My wife, my friend, they know where I stand on the position, and I make that very well known.
So let's get into some of those topics. So I talked about the Illuminati, just you know, just because of shadow governments, things like that. And have you heard about the Amaro?
I have.
Okay, because I brought that up even to one of our conservative strategists, Republican strategists. She didn't know what I was talking about.
No, I don't either.
And then was it North American Union, right?
That, it is. Yes.
And what is it? Is it a bridge, a tunnel, or is it a pipeline? What are they talking about uniting?
The North American Union, what they're talking about uniting is erasing all borders.
Yeah.
Basically, Canada, United States, and Mexico, all is one.
Really?
One currency.
Who wants to do that, though?
Well, right now, nobody, but it's more underground.
It's a process that George W. Bush started in his administration. Yeah, building the superhighway between the three countries as well. It's being constructed
The first Bush, right?
No.
The second Bush?
George W.
Oh.
43rd. Number 43.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Got it.
it's exactly that. Canada, United States, and Mexico, all as one, erasing borders, and more importantly than that, one currency for these three countries, the Amero, as you said, Kara, which will compete with the European Union, the Euro, and that's what they're trying to do. Will it happen in our lifetime? It's still yet to be seen. We there's a lot of factors that have to come involved with that, but they are definitely trying to do that. The Amero, it's very true. It is.
And what's the benefit of that? I mean, why?
I don't know I don't know what the U.S. has to gain other than. I mean, are they talking about a pipeline, or they're talking about a actual freeway, or are we talking about? You know, I'm curious as to what.
Well, he said highway, right? I mean, he said
they're building a superhighway, but the actual gain, to answer your question, in my belief, again, this is not a fact, it's my belief, the actual gain is nothing. The reason why they're doing this is because they want the order, the one world government.
Yeah, one world government.
So you have to start somewhere, Sam, Kara. They already did with the Euro. Now we make a North American Union, then you make an Asian Union, an African Union. All those unions together become one world government,
which is superpower control, right?
There's your answer right there. I mean, people are very blind not to see what's coming that way.
Well, I have a question, though. I mean, you kind of got to the heart of it, which is just control and one world government, one world order, one world economy, right? But, you know, the steps leading to that are subtle, and it takes a long time for those things to happen. So what are the steps, like the processes that you would see as far as, like, I don't think George W. Bush is thinking, I want one world government. I think what he's thinking is there's got to be some incentive here that he's thinking, either personally or economically, our country will benefit. There's things in place to take governments and people in places of power to take the bait to make this bigger picture happen. I don't think that that's intentionally where their head is. I think it's mainly people are going for the bait. You know what I mean?
I understand that, and I really, truly respect your opinion. But I disagree with you.
Oh, you think that he is?
It's not that he is. It's a plan that's been in place for a very long time. And it's not so much George Bush.
No, that's what I'm saying.
It's the powers that be that put him there for a reason, like 44, like 42nd, and the rest, to make them usher in this thing. It's not happened by accident. It's done by design.
Well, and the way that I look at it, too, is more of a, and I don't want to take this route too much because it'll veer us off, as I look at it, like you said, the powers that be, and you talk about a predestined type of plan. I look at that spiritually because I see it lines up with the Bible, actually. But yep. I don't want to hocus pocus anybody or, you know, stress them out.
For you,
but
everything lines up with the Bible. We always end up on the Bible.
Well, I mean, it's because it's active.
It's part of your life.
But if you were to look, even if you didn't believe, let's say you didn't even believe in Jesus or whatever, that's not your thing. If you actually lined it up with the news, you'd see like, oh my gosh, all this stuff is happening. You couldn't help but kind of see parallels. But either way, I'm not here to, you know, push it or whatever. I'm just saying, when you talk about a one world government, one world currency, it's been in the Bible since the Bible's been written, as far as the book of Revelations, and you see these things happening, you kind of go, oh my gosh, it's actually happening. Now, will I see it in my lifetime fully? No, but what am I possibly know? But what I've seen is pretty radical. And it's pretty phenomenal. I mean, you look at it and you go, oh my gosh, this is really happening.
You know, and then people say, wow, maybe that guy's not as crazy as I thought, or that lady, or whatever. I mean, it's happening. It's the eventual goal. You're right, Kara. Sam, it's not going to happen in 3 months. It's not going to happen in one administration. It may not happen in our lifetime.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. And that's my belief. Mm-hmm. And, I'm here to tell people about it, talk about it, and get the truth uncovered. That's all. There's no other gain for me to do that.
So the shadow governments that be that are kind of perpetuating this, it goes, I mean, it's so historical, right?
Bloodlines that go all the way to Babylon, Egypt.
Yeah, exactly.
European monarchy. Yeah. I mean, it just goes back in time. We're not talking a couple months here, people.
Really? So you're talking like secret societies and things like that?
Well, like
that
the bank.
Well?
What is that government bank? What's that government bank that prints our money and then we owe them money? What's that called?
The Federal Reserve.
The Federal Reserve? Yeah. And like, so basically we have a private company that prints our money.
Oh, no, they're not private.
It's going to be a great topic. That is going to be a great topic. One of my very few.
No, but we basically outsourced a company to that prints our money, right?
Well,
and now they have an interest. We owe them every time they print money. We owe them, right?
Every time money's printed, there's an interest on it. But I again, my belief from my research is that we owe a lot right now. Mm-hmm. We're in debt for a reason. I'm going to tip into that in my second show on the currencies and whatnot, and who we're in debt to, who owes us, and what do we owe, and what are the reasons for we're in debt for, and why we owe. Mm. So touched on something very good, Karen, Sam, and it's a good intro to where I'm going to be heading.
What's that family called, though? The family that goes way, way, way back, and they've got like incest and the bloodline and everything, and it's like they've owned, basically, they basically took over like the England's, the Bank of England and all that stuff.
You're very knowledgeable. I really enjoy that.
No, I know enough to get myself in trouble. with everything, isn't that right, Sam? I know enough to stir the pot and like kind of let people fight it out.
You guys are good. That is called the Roth. They are called
the Rothschild. The Rothschild.
Yes.
Okay.
Estimated wealth of 500 trillion. That's enough money to feed, bathe, clothe everyone on this planet.
Yeah.
Right there. 500 trillion.
Yeah.
That's how much they have. The
estimated
estate.
Wealth is 500 trillion.
I mean, they go back from the beginning.
I know. They go back. But
if I'm off a few here and there, fine. So sue me. But I'm pretty close, people.
Yeah.
Like that's what their wealth is. I'm pretty close.
Now, they're the ones that we speculate are part of the family that basically is way behind the scenes. But
Yeah.
If they're so behind the scenes, how do we know about it, though? You know?
Sometimes there are
people
out there.
We listen to Planet X.
There you go.
You listen to people before me. Now the people are going to listen to me, you know, newer generation of people, and I'm just continuing the work that's already been done, and that's all I want to do.
Yeah.
It's just continuing the work. That's it.
Yeah.
You know.
So then you get the Freemasons, Illuminati, all these.
Freemasonry, Illuminati, and you know, a lot of the, which I'm going to touch base on my first show here on Sunday, June 13th, here on LA Talk Radio. a lot of the presidents, U.S. presidents, have been Freemasons.
Yes. And, yes.
Yeah, a lot of people know.
Yeah,
that
that's what they say. Our money has symbols in it, and you know.
Very good point, Sam. I'm gonna be touching on that.
Yeah. Well, you know, not a big deal because I read the Da Vinci Code. And
just like me, Sam. It's like, yeah, like, hey, I know that word.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have time to really like invest all my heart and soul into it, but it's interesting, and I think it's great that some people are, you know, discovering it or you know looking into it, because like you said, in our lifetime. You know, your mission in life is to, you believe, is to expose this and kind of perpetuate what's already being out there.
Yes.
And I kind of look at it like, well, I think it's interesting and it's good to kind of be aware, but at the same time, it's not affecting my day-to-day life.
Understood.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And it's not my personal mission in life, so I don't really, you know, I don't set up a shop or camp and do it. Not that that's bad, but I kind of, like, we both kind of recognize that this bigger plan by design, which I believe is way even bigger and above and beyond like Rothschild and stuff. I think it's spiritual. I think it's spiritual roots, you know. I kind of like it's going to happen regardless,
yeah.
You know.
That's a good point. It, you know, the spirituality comes into effect with this as well. It's a good point. The question is, what kind of spirituality? Good or evil? It's two different
things. No, absolutely. But you know? I mean, I think that like if you want to get into spiritual talk, I mean, you know, everything, God is sovereign.
Mm-hmm.
So that means even evil and some of the worst awful acts in life, God still has a control over. He may allow free will and he may allow some devastating things to happen, but it's never out, it's always on a leash.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that if there's a, if you want to say a plan by design that has evil spiritual context, it still somehow fits into God's ultimate plan where he's going to redeem it and something good will come out of it in the end. Do you know what I'm saying?
Very interesting.
So I kind of look at it like some people that aren't, that they have a choice to serve God or not, you know, and if they're not going to serve God, if they're part of the, you know, I'm saying this in a cartoon way just to basically spell it out, but it's much more complicated. I realize that if they're part of, let's say, this master plan that is, you know, evil powers that may be in forces and spirituality or whatever, the reality is that there's a demise at the end. There's an end to it. And God says he uses it all, but nothing will thwart his will. So that even if you look in the Bible and, you know, in the Torah and you look at Pharaoh and the Egyptians and stuff, it talks a lot about how God gave him many opportunities, but his heart became hardened and he hardened it.
Yep.
And that God still used him in his bigger plan because God uses everything. So I kind of look at it in a sense of like it's way above my pay grade. The spiritual roots are above my pay grade. The destined, you know, the bigger plan is way above what my brain will ever be able to understand. So I just kind of recognize it and see that, you know, God's got a bigger will that he's going to get accomplished through it. Not that he's causing it, but, you know, he's going to use it. So that's kind of the way I look at it, you know?
That's a very good point, yeah. Very good point.
So.
Yeah. Whatever the point was, I don't know. I didn't get it at all.
I guess what I'm
hearing
saying,
Pharaoh and God hardening and all this stuff. I don't know.
I guess what I'm saying is whether it's good or bad, you know, these things we're talking about.
Right.
If we believe it's part of a bigger plan, I just believe that ultimately God's will be accomplished.
Yeah.
And I don't need to fully know the details in it because what am I? I mean, my part in life is something different, you know.
Right. If you say so.
I don't know. I mean, unless, you know, I mean, but you've got a different, you know, a different drive. So I think it's cool.
I do have a little bit of a different drive than you, Karen, that perspective. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with my drive or your drive or Sam's drive. It's just what drives us was what makes us.
Yeah, I believe that. I totally believe it. So going back to these shadow governments and everything, you know, what do you feel like? Where are you with everything right now? And where do you think we are in that timetable as far as...
To create a timeline or a timetable is very difficult to do.
Yeah, so let's
it's very difficult to do in being honest with it.
We don't know.
You know, anyone who can sit, I'm not a psychic. I can't snap my fingers and say, Sam, you know, tomorrow morning, or it doesn't work like that with me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more on belief. I try to give as much fact as I have, and given a timeline of the scenarios that are happening around the world. I mean, it's...
Well, you can't. You're just going to look dumb anyway because, like...
You're not going to get it from me.
Yeah, and I think that's smart. You know, that's a smart answer.
Yeah.
What do you think about, let's say, current events? And, like, I saw what you posted on your site, Sam.
Which one?
You were like, I am leaning way to the right. You were like, get away from me. Because of what they just started cracking down on Israel with their nukes.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Like, basically...
I mean, it's not the beginning. I mean, this is always happening. Look now with the flotilla and the... the ship that was trying to get through, and the Israelis stopped
Israeli
and everything.
Commandos,
now
yeah.
the whole world is hating Israel again.
Again,
you
yeah.
know, because it's just everybody's waiting for that little match to be lit. So
what did they do?
Start
I'm
fire.
Sorry, I didn't.
At any rate, but no, the thing is that the current administration is not, you know, they're trying to cozy up to Islamic countries and things like that, and which hurts the relationships with Israel, you know.
It's a good thing you mentioned, yeah.
Yeah, so, and I'm seeing things that are not, you know, that are really, they don't seem right, you know. And I'm starting to see really that the left is leaving me in the cold, you know. I mean, I don't know.
Just to kind of understand, and I didn't really read up on it, but the situation is that our administration is trying to, what, evaluate the amount of nukes that they have or having them...
No, they're taking the sides of countries that are not our allies.
Well, I understand that, but they also wanted to it had to do with nuclear...
Right. Non-proliferation treaty, yeah.
Yeah, and so basically, what are they telling them? They can't have them, or they want to know how many they have?
No, what they're saying is they're picking on countries like Israel, but then they're not addressing the Iranian problem at all. You
North
know,
Korean
and
problem.
That is, yeah, yeah, the North Korean problem. And these are really the serious ones.
Well, and I mean, Israel's never posed a threat to the world with their nukes, right?
Right.
I mean, so I think it's none of our damn business, in my opinion. And if we were a country that was getting bombed every 2 days or whatever the stats are.
Yeah,
I
and
mean,
especially an ally, you know. I mean, you don't put pressure on them to
I think it's about a PC move or
secrets.
Something like, hey, we're calling them out, too, so that we can call you. Yeah, I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
I do agree with Sam, though, on this one. Israel is obviously a very much ally to the United States. Hands down. But this administration, Barack Obama, he started off to be a little pro-Israel, but he's going the other way right now in June of 2010.
Right.
He's he's showing that he's a little against Israel,
yeah.
in my opinion, presently, for reasons
trying to make peace with Iran, you know. So that's
it's
what
very
I don't
suspicious suspicious behavior right now on that. I mean, Israel is in the middle of so much in the Middle East that goes around Israel. Let's be honest with each other. And the United States has always been a friend to Israel, and Israel's always been a friend to the United States, mm-hmm. allies, as you said, Sam.
Yeah.
And this administration seems like they're going the other way now.
You're right.
Right now, anyways. So.
You're right. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, I think that we're going to shoot ourselves in the foot if we do that. I mean, that's just...
Yeah, but that's why, I mean, that's the government we have right now, you know. So hopefully nothing major is going to happen while they're in power. But no, I voted for Obama mainly because I didn't want Bush anymore, and I didn't want any of his camp you know, taking the presidency. But at the same time, I feel that this government is not letting on as to what's happening, you know, mm-hmm. which goes into all the conspiracy and everything that you're talking about.
Absolutely.
But like they say, just because I'm paranoid doesn't mean people are not after me, you know.
That's a point that I'm trying to make. I mean, just because you think outside the box, people, you have a brain of your own to sit there and question. Mm-hmm. Question the order, analyze, interpret. Mm-hmm. Does not. Why do you have to be labeled a nut, a conspiracy?
Right.
Why? Because you listen to Coast to Coast, you listen to Planet X Radio. No, it's people with open minds
mm-hmm.
who just want to hear something, talk about some, discuss things that are not heard on CNN,
right.
NBC, mm-hmm. ABC, and the rest. Mm-hmm. That's all it is.
Now, why don't they talk about this? They try to stay with concrete reality, right? I mean, they don't try to speculate.
You mean the media?
Media.
Yeah. Mainstream media?
Yeah.
Well, truthfully, it's because they're owned by the Illuminati.
Really?
Yeah. They
wow.
own all that. Take a look at CBS.
Mm-hmm.
What's the symbol for CBS? The all-seeing eye,
mm-hmm.
which I will get into my symbology when I do it on my show.
Mm-hmm.
The all-seeing eye, CBS is
that the
symbol.
Is that Illuminati symbol?
No, very much so.
Oh, okay. I didn't know
which
that.
I will touch base on my first show, but absolutely. I mean, they own the mainstream media. Owning the media sets a perfect point to get people's, you know, control the masses.
Yeah.
It's total mind control. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So what do you think about Fox News then?
Fox News?
Yeah.
I don't think much of it.
Well, I'm just wondering who controls them then, because they're getting shit from everywhere.
Murder.
You know, I mean, they're the number one rated. You know, media outlet right now.
Yeah.
In our, you know, and
well, there's a reason for that. There you go. A lot of people listen to that. So.
Well, I know, but I mean, if who's controlling them? I guess is, you know, do you feel like they're being controlled?
My belief from
mm-hmm.
my research,
mm-hmm.
Kara, that the media, like you said, you raised a very good point a minute ago, is a great outlet to get messages across. So people in this country feel comfortable listening to Fox or listening to, and they believe what they're being told. What they fail to realize is they're only being told X amount. They're not being told the other amount. They're being told only what they need to know.
Mm-hmm.
My show's going to go into what they're not. We're not being told.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're not. So you're not a fan of Fox News.
I'm not a fan of 99.9%. Like I said, 99% of mainstream media. No.
Right. Mm. So you don't believe the things that you read and.
Not all of them. No, I don't. Not
right.
all of them. No.
Right.
Some of them, yes, but not all of them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Is it kind of like that? You're not saying that you don't believe it. It's just that it's not the total truth. It's not the complete.
It's not the total truth.
It's like touching, like kind of giving you like a little sample platter of the.
It gives you only what they want to tell you, but you know mm-hmm. they don't need to know that. We're on a need to know basis with
yeah.
the media right now.
Yeah. So if someone wanted to get more into this stuff, what where would you send them? I mean, what kind of obviously your show, but are there any resources like magazines about this stuff? And
absolutely, there's yeah. many outlets of research on this. Mm-hmm. I've been researching for a while, a long time, years. And you asked me before, how did this show come about? It's something I've tried to develop for a long time, and mm-hmm. I want to thank LA Talk Radio for allowing me to do my show on mm-hmm. the. This, you know, this
yeah,
station.
Well, we love you. Why not?
Thank you, thank you. There's a lot of research, and there's a lot of people that. Are just brilliant on the side. And they can literally show you in a matter of 3 minutes things that you probably would never have known. I've read and studied a lot of Jordan Maxwell's work,
mm.
David Icke's work. I mean, there's so many people out there that either going to their seminars, literally,
mm-hmm.
I have, and, excuse me, as well, reading the archives, so much material out there. Dr. Henry McCow, there's so many people that I've emulated from and studied from,
mm-hmm.
and their knowledge has just been passed down, and I want to continue their work.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Do you have a political affiliation that you lean towards or that you would identify with, or do you, what do you think? I mean, because when you're kind of, when you see it the way you're seeing it, I mean, from what I can see.
You know, it's
so divided.
Yeah, it's really hard to answer that question in
yeah.
the sense that I may have obviously a different view than, let's say, Sam or you, Kara, but, you know, it's just, I just, they don't have their, they do not have our best interests
mm.
at heart. So how can I say I'm Republican or Democrat or independent? If you don't like the candidate and what their party represents and what they stand for, how can I say that to you? I mean,
right.
I don't believe the government has our best in hand,
yeah.
Democratic or Republican.
But you do have to vote for someone, right? I mean, you want to be a little bit in charge of who governs you.
Yeah, if you think your vote counts. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
If you think your vote counts.
Right,
yeah.
Do you think it counts?
2010? No, I don't.
No, huh?
Maybe. You know, well,
yeah.
World War II. Mm-hmm. Back then, when we're doing things for the world. Yeah, 2010. No, I don't think it counts.
Yeah.
It's all. It's gonna. What's gonna happen is gonna happen.
Yeah.
And we may be witnesses. We may not. But it's gonna happen.
Yeah.
Interesting. Wow. Well, yeah. I definitely think you should still vote. Don't listen to him. Get out there and vote. Vote.
Vote if you believe your vote counts. If you really believe that, vote.
Yeah.
I'm not saying don't vote.
Yeah,
saying
I know. I'm just giving you a hard time. I'm giving you a hard time.
Yeah, I know.
That's what I like to do.
Do you go to conventions and things like that that have to do with this stuff?
There are special lectures and documentaries. And absolutely. Regarding the North American Union, as you both mentioned, it's a good documentary that's going to be shown. It's called United We Fall. It's on. It's up in Canada though. It's in Toronto. It's going to be. I saw the trailer. It's mm-hmm. a great documentary. Really getting in depth with the North American Union.
Oh really?
Oh, the.
I'm surprised that people haven't heard about this. I mean, I know it's one of those long time coming type things where you know you're not going to see it tomorrow or something, but
right.
you know it's been in the works
yeah.
just like a lot of things and you know just the idea of one. It's as freely as we throw it around. I'm surprised that so many people don't. See or care about the one world government merging and the one world economy and you know I mean I just think it's you know as globalization has you know taken over I mean you just see everything merging more and more and more and more and more and more and more
yes.
to one, which on the consumer end you're like okay great you know access quick access I can get what I want when I want but what people don't realize is the lack of rights that they don't have, the control they give up, and people aren't looking at that. I mean if you look at Facebook had to publicly apologize for its privacy settings. I started getting all these emails from friends of mine that were saying Facebook has been selling your stuff and your information to all of these different sites, and some of these sites actually, like Spokio, S-P-O-K, K-E-O, I think is a Spoco or whatever. You could actually go there, pay money, and they can get your credit score. They can get your address, your cell phone number, and they can even do some of the free searches and get, like, your address and stuff. And I actually And I looked up some of
them. Yeah, you can find out if someone was married, who they were married to, their relatives, things like that. Yeah.
I looked up some of my family members, and it was true. I mean, you can't find shit on me because I'm just... I mean, you
you're
can find...
all over the place.
You could just... I mean, some of my stuff's way out there. You just click on my freaking Facebook, and you're like, okay, she was at Birds last night. That's all you need to know. But but I mean, as far as I mean, I live my life pretty publicly, so I don't care. But I'm just saying, like, you know, like, for example, a family member of mine had was in an abusive relationship with somebody that she actually had to change her identity.
Really?
And he found her. You know, this is a few years back. Found her. Through, you know, public records, things like that, and follow the bunny trail. And I mean, she was just like, what the, you know. So if that's happening, it's like, you know, people are just selling your information. And every time you log into something on the internet, or you, you know, you're giving out information, I just don't fight it anymore, because I'm like, well, you know, what do I really have to hide? And you know, if I'm gonna get killed, I guess I'm gonna get killed, or whatever. I already kind of go to the worst case scenario. Like, I just don't have time to manage this too much. But on a bigger picture, I mean, yeah, Facebook had to publicly apologize for its privacy settings. They're they're the number one Google searched thing on
Facebook.
Facebook is.
Yeah, Facebook is the number two website in the world after Google, as far as traffic.
Yeah.
They've got like 500 million members. You know how many people that is? I mean, that is a lot of friggin' people. You know?
I got something on my Facebook the other day, a message saying, X, you know that Facebook is a CIA experiment? And that one I never heard of before, and I have since that been looking into that, and that really came out of right field.
So it's not the college thing. It started off as a college thing, remember?
Yeah.
It started off as a college thing. You had to be like at a certain college.
And then
it took off. Do you think it is?
Well, it's definitely being monitored for. A lot of activity.
Everything's being monitored.
That's true.
Anything that pops up on the radar and actually has activity, people are going to tap into it.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, our phone calls, this is being monitored. A friend of mine that was in, it's Qatar, right? That's where the central location of, that they field out any cell phone calls. That if you say anything, if you're having phone calls on your cell phone, you use words like terrorists or whatever that look like a threat, they're going to start monitoring you.
Yeah.
So, like, we're, I don't think so much like a radio station because everything's out there in the open, but as far as cell phones and private calls, they field it all.
Yeah.
It's definitely being monitored, but the difference, I mean, they're spending a lot of money. The FBI is spending a lot of money to monitor the Facebook, and it's been on InfoWars. Alex Jones did a segment on it, and Facebook is definitely being monitored now. As far as a CIA experiment, is this message that I got? I'm not sure about that, but it was really interesting to say. I was really surprised I got a message saying that.
Yeah.
Well, people,
what do you think?
It's really sad because people really want to connect, and you know, people want to have communities. And
yeah, but that's the thing, is that there's no such thing as privacy anymore, and we have to accept that. You know, learn to live with that.
We live in a surveillance society.
Yeah.
As you said, Sam.
And we have a lot of information, and it goes from one person to the other all the time, you know. So credit information is freely exchanged out there, you know. I mean, nobody really knows what's going on, and it's scary.
Yeah.
You know, it is scary, but... Yeah, but there's not much privacy going on, and anybody that thinks that they do have privacy are wrong, you know. I mean, I can show you, I can find anybody just, you know, from your home, you know, from your computer.
Yeah, the internet is big for that. It's a really big tool for, you know, skip tracing, location.
Except I'm trying to find this really hot chick I used to date, and I can't find her.
Really?
That was 30 years ago.
Really? Well, I mean, they said that a lot of terrorist activities were so successful because they didn't use cell phones. They didn't communicate through modern technology. Everything was super on legwork, on foot, little notes being passed. It wasn't through
They tried to stay away from all that because they knew exactly that everything's being monitored. A lot of the note-taking, the recon that was done, very low-key, very subtle. Absolutely. It's a very good point.
Yeah
it's pretty, you know? It's pretty interesting.
I mean, the phone companies can know where you are at any time. You know, because of your cell phone and stuff, it acts like a GPS, and they know exactly where you are and what you do and all that. You know?
Well, I mean, and I don't know if there's a way to go backwards. I mean, you can fight it, you can kind
You can't. You can't put the genie back in the bottle.
How do you go backwards? And we have satellites you know, that can find, like, you can even go on Google and look at streets from an aerial.
Streets from the air.
From the air. I mean, yeah. I just kind of go, well.
Street level, too.
Yeah. It's 1984, yeah. People. It's totally Big Brother. So I'm just like, you know.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no more privacy, I'm telling you. And X, thank you so much for joining
thank
us,
you.
Man. We're almost out of time.
Thank you very much for having me on your show.
And, of course. Everybody listen to him on Planet X. You're starting on the 13th, so that's next weekend, not this coming one.
Yeah, Sunday, June 13th.
That'll be Sunday at 8 o'clock p.m.
8 p.m.
And I'm really looking forward to that. You know, we really love having you part of the station.
I'm totally going to tune in.
Yeah, sounds good. And
I'll probably still have a tan, too.
You'll still have a tan.
Great tan for radio.
Good. He's got a great tan for radio. You had a bit of the Jersey Shore look going on, but not in a...
Oh, wow.
Not in a crusty way.
Yeah.
Not a crusty way, but, you know, you have the dark... You know, they have really dark hair, and then they have the tan.
Yeah.
That's why I wanted to know if you're from Jersey.
I guess I don't watch that show. I'm sorry.
Oh, my gosh.
No, thanks.
It is.
You could fit in the Sopranos fine, though.
Oh, no. Come on. No.
Yeah, more Sopranos.
I'm kidding.
Really?
Man, I'm kidding.
Yeah. Thank you both for having me on the show.
Of course.
You got
course.
It, dude.
And, Kara, thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll be back here tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 9 a.m. until 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, originating from the Los Angeles Talk Radio Studios. If you have questions about the show or would like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondents to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.